Father, we thank and praise your name this morning for all of your goodness and your mercy towards us. We honor and thank the Lord God Almighty for all that he has done, is doing, and we are yet to recognize and realize from him. Praise the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and his blessings, his mercies, they are new unto us each and every day. Lord, we honor and praise the beauty of holiness here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm going to lead the charge this morning in praising the Lord, but I want you to get in on the praise. Hallelujah. Get in on the praise. You know, let me just remind us that the scripture says we should use the psalms and the hymns in not only, speaking to yourself, but also in admonishing others. So let's just read a couple of scriptures here. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we read a commandment from the scriptures that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Well, that's let the word of God. It's a commandment. Dwell richly in you in all wisdom and admonishing, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that means we can actually do that. Every time we read the psalms while we're in the assembly, it can actually be an admonishment. It can be an encouragement. Yeah, we can teach each other or one another from the psalms. Singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. We sing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. We don't need to be, a singer, but everybody should be able to sing with grace. You know, that's it. You sing with grace in your hearts. It's not exactly how it sounds coming out of your mouth, but how it sounds coming out of your heart to the Lord. You know, that's, what matters the most. How thankful are you to the Lord, and can you praise him with your whole heart? Ephesians chapter 5. We read a similar commandment and instruction. And it says in verse 19, again, speaking to yourselves. The other was you speak to one another. This one is you speak to your own self in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so we're going to do just that, I love the way that certain people praised the Lord so mightily in the scriptures. Praise the Lord mightily in the scriptures. And they knew how to do it too. David knew how to do it. Jehoshaphat knew how to do it. A few others knew how to do it. Do we know how to do it? Let's read a few psalms here and you get ready with your own psalm. That's right. I'm going to read some. You will read some. So you get ready with your own psalm. But don't be flipping through the Bible. Listen first. So get ready. We're going to praise the Lord. It is it is a good thing always to give honor and praise to the Lord. You know, I want my doctrine this morning to drop like the dew, but it has to be about praise though. You know, I mean, there is a thing that I desire before the Lord, you know, is to be a praise commander. You know, I am not a praise team leader. I can't do that. I don't have the voice for that. But someone that will always, number one, order my own conversation and praise aright. And number two, always direct the people to praise the Lord. My goodness. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak this morning. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is where I'm reading from. My speech shall distill as the dew, even as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as it showers upon the grass. Why? Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Join me in ascribing greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we want to always make sure that we know it and people know it as well, that the Lord is the Most High over all the earth, and we need to give him praise that is commensurate with the goodness and the mercies that he has shown us. We really can't do justice to all of it, but we can try. Praise the Lord. You know, he said, look, we want people to know. That's right. We want people to know that men may know, he says, Psalm 83 and verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. In fact, that's how, when we pray, that's how we should pray. When you are in a bind and you need the Lord to do something for you, do it. Like Hezekiah did. He said, Lord, save us from the hands of this Sennacherib, that all the earth may know that thou indeed art the Most High over all the earth. That was his prayer. You know, so, you know, when we are in a situation and you turn around and pray like that, we're always seeking the glory of God. You know, now there are a few people that did not give glory to God in the Bible. That didn't work out for them. The Lord gave us examples. You know, and Nebuchadnezzar was one. Was a great man. You know, and, you know, the Lord gave him great greatness. You know, his kingdom ruled over all other kingdoms at the time. And he built great palaces and different things, hanging gardens and all these things. And he never did give the glory to God at first. In fact, you know, one day he walked around and admired all the things that he had done. He himself had done, he thought. You know, he said, look, is this not great Babylon that, you know, I have put together by my own hands? And that's what he thought. You know, and he was just thinking that all these things he did by himself. Listen to this in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 29. At the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. Well, that's what he thought. And for the honor of my majesty. Well, he wasn't going to give the glory to God. You know, I mean, he thought he did it all. He thought he did it for himself. He thought he did it by his own power. And he was just, you know, bragging about, you know, his accomplishments. You know, and he never even in 1 minute considered turning the glory over to God. Well, the Lord was going to show him, though, and show everybody as well. While the word was in the king's mouth, fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. God acknowledged that he's king nonetheless. And God acknowledged that he had a kingdom nonetheless. But, you know, that kingdom is departed from you, the voice said. And they will drive you from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen until 7 years pass over you. And then, until you come to the point that you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. Now, all the same thing befell Nebuchadnezzar, but at the end, the Lord said, well, leave him a stump. Don't finish him up altogether. Let him have a testimony. And so, at the time of the end, somehow, his reasoning, after 7 years of being like a monkey in the bush, you know, his reasoning returned unto him. In fact, God changed his heart, became like the heart of a monkey, heart of a, you know, I mean, just an animal. And he grew whiskers and long nails and everything. And his hair grew like, you know, I mean, he went into the bush and lived among animals. God preserved his life. You know, none of the animals actually hurt him. You know, but he was there with them for 7 years. Doing all the things, you know, like animals did. My goodness, eating grass, you know, no place to call his own, no bathroom, you know, and so forth. All the things that he had in the kingdom, he lost it all. And then at the end, that God may show to everyone that, look, you better give glory to God. You know, God allowed his reasoning to return unto him. Things began to happen in the kingdom, and they started to miss him. And they started to look for him. They sent people to go find him. They found him. And all of a sudden, you know, he began to return. His flesh began to return to him like a human being. All of these things began to change, and it was so dramatic. My goodness. And then they brought him back and returned him, and all his reasoning returned to him. You know, and then he remembered. He remembered what happened. And here's what he said. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. For the glory of the kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought me out. And I was established, or I should say, re-established in my kingdom. Excellent majesty was added unto me. Well, he's still talking that, but this time around, he's going to know who that came from. There's nothing wrong with thinking that you have brightness, that you have honor, that you have, you know, blessing and greatness, but you got to know where it came from. You got to give the Lord the correct praise. So now, here's what he said finally. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. I should have done that all along. All whose works are truth and his judgments past finding out. You know, wow. All his judgments, all his ways are judgments. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Furthermore, he said this. He said, look, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I bless the Most High. And I guarantee you, this praise that he gives here is like second to none other in the whole Bible. But it took him 7 years of God you know, putting him down. You know, to figure out that you ought to give glory and honor to the Most High. He says, and I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion, now he knows it, is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth, I don't care whether you are the king, even a king of kings, that is head above all, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before the Lord. And the Lord doeth according as he wills in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Neither can anyone say to you, to him, what doest thou? My goodness. He finally gave this amazing glory and ode to the Lord that he should have done in the first place. You know, so God allowed these stories in the Bible to let us know that we ought to give God glory for all the greatnesses and all the things that the Lord does for us. And we're going to do just that today as a practice, but not just in this room. And we go from here, we continue to do it. Herod was a man that was a mighty orator. He was gifted. He had charisma, you know, commanding the people and so forth. And everybody said, my goodness, this man, he speaks like a god. You know, you can read that in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. And in that moment of his great glory, when everybody thought that he was, he had a voice of like a god, his voice thundered. Everybody said, my goodness, we never heard any such thing. This man is an orator. In that moment, instead of he turning the glory to God, he relished, in the glory for himself. And, you know, God also showed an example in him. You know, there's not too many times that the Lord did that in the Bible, but he left at least these two in there so that by the mouth of these two witnesses, the matter may be confirmed that God is able to bring down all those that walk in pride. Now, in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, he walked in the pride of his heart, you know, by his own self. You know, in the case of Herod, he allowed pride to enter into his heart by the things that people said unto him. Now, let's see the difference. But his result was the same. Nebuchadnezzar said it of himself. Herod, he allowed the people, what they said of him, to get into his head. And rather than he turning it unto the Lord, he said, well, you know, people ascribed tremendous glory unto him, and he did not turn it immediately to the Lord. Upon a set day, we are told that Herod was arrayed in royal apparel and sat upon his throne and made an oration unto the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not the voice of a man. You know, at that point, you know, maybe Herod should have said, oh, I am just a man like you. Give the glory to God. He didn't. And God is going to show us here that the Lord can do these things. Doesn't do it all the time, but he can do it. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God. In fact, he said it this way. He gave not God the glory. That's right. You know, so he ascribed the glory unto himself. You know, he ascribed the greatness unto himself. The psalm that we read in Deuteronomy 32 said, ascribe ye greatness unto the Lord. But this man assigned the greatness to himself because people said it and he took it. But Nebuchadnezzar, he assigned greatness to himself because he thought he did it all by himself. In either case, the Lord put them down. Nebuchadnezzar had a chance to come back and give glory to God. This one did not have a chance. It was done. God wiped him out completely. In a moment, right there in front of the people, the angel of the Lord struck him. Both his royal crowns, royal apparel, everything disintegrated. Right, he bombs ate him up right in front of them. Gave up the ghost and died. God showing us that, look, you know, the Lord wants the glory. And, you know, we don't need to spend a whole lot of time. You know, we shouldn't have to spend a whole lot of time convincing the people of the Lord to give glory to God. You know, we ought to give glory to God all the time. Now, here is what the Lord wasn't happy about. He said in the book of Hosea, chapter 11 and verse 7, my people are bent to backsliding from me, even though they called on the Lord, they called them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. These things, you know, grieve the Lord. We call upon the name of the Lord, but God says you're backsliding because you would not at all exalt the name of the Lord. You know, so we need to exalt the name of the Lord from time to time. I love Jehoshaphat. He was a commander, you know, of praise. He was the chief cheerleader for the Lord, so to speak. Because, I mean, he was not only king, but he was a king that had the right attitude towards God. When he heard the word of the Lord that the battle that was against them from the three companies that completely outnumbered them, that battle, God would take it over and fight it for them. They would not need to fight at all, and God would get them the victory. Wow. What did he go and do? Well, he didn't go and do anything at all. He immediately fell down before the Lord, and he worshipped and commanded all of Israel, you know, all the inhabitants of Judah and everybody to worship the Lord with him. You know, and he was a good king. Most of the kings in Judah were good. Can't say that much for the kings of Israel, but he was a good king. But when he heard the Lord's word through the young prophet, we are told that he immediately bowed down and worshipped. You can read the story in 2 Chronicles 20. A famous story that we have alluded to from time to time. You know, so when Jehoshaphat heard the promise, ye shall not need to fight in this battle, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord, he will be with you. Now, what did Jehoshaphat do when he heard such a thing? He bowed his head with his face to the ground. He was leading the charge of worship. And when you see your king bow down before the Lord, and you yourself, you're supposed to bow down to the king, and the king himself bowing down to the Lord, then automatically everybody bow down to the Lord. And all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. And that must have been a sight. Worshipping the Lord. We need kings and leaders like that, that will lead the charge of praising the Lord. My goodness. And they've worshipped God. They bowed down. And Jehoshaphat, he went an extra step. You know, he did his research and his homework, found a people that were skilled in praising the Lord according to the commandment, you know, of David. That's right. He said, well, you know, let me find the people that are skilled in tambourine and skilled with this and skilled with that. And he gathered them and say, hey, it is time to praise the Lord. You know, and he ordered the singers. He appointed them even after consulting with the people. Said, who are the best ones here that are skilled? Their hands are skilled upon the timbrel and the tambourine and the instruments, and they know their voices are good. He said, well, They pointed them out. He appointed them and set them in front of the army. Glory to God. Now, that's how you do it. That's how you give the praise to the Lord. Well, let's lift the Lord up on here this morning. We need to lift the Lord up every day in our lives. You know, so I'm, you know, while I'm speaking, prepare to do it with us, along with us today. First Chronicles chapter 16. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. That's verse 31. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. And say ye, save us, O our God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, so that we may give thanks to thy holy name and praise and give glory in thy praise. Blessed be the God of Israel forever and ever. And he said, let all the people say amen. And all the people said amen. And they praised the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Now, this man, he knew how to praise the Lord. You know, he knew it. He knew how to do it too. You know, he was a man that rejoiced continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. As a matter of fact, when the Ark was coming back after having been captured by the Philistines, David at first didn't want the Ark in his house, and he caused them to turn it aside, and they had, you know, house of one of Obed-Edom or whatever his name was. And when he saw that the Lord had blessed that man, he brought that ark back. And when the ark was coming, my goodness, David danced before the Lord with all his might. You know, in fact, he cast off his garments, kingly garment and so forth. You know, you can read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Cast all that stuff up. Threw away the crown. Cast the crown down. Threw away his garment. You know, and began to get down before the Lord. And began to praise the Lord. And David, we're told, danced before the Lord with all his might. Was guarded with a leaning effort and all these things. So David and all the house of the Lord, all the house of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. You know, can you imagine a king like that out in the street dancing with all his might? I don't know, maybe he was doing acrobatics or whatever. He was just spinning and rolling. You know, he was dancing, you know, before the Lord. To the which Michal, Saul's daughter, looked out through a window. Was the wife of David at the time. And he saw David doing all these things, leaping and dancing. Bible said, leaping and dancing, you know, before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And she said, when the man came in, he said, how glorious, mockery in her mind and mouth against the king. How glorious was the king of Israel this day? Look at you. Supposed to be the king. And see how you disgraced yourself in the streets in front of all the women and everything. Dancing, taking off your clothes and doing all of that. Carrying on like a crazy person. You carry yourself. You need to carry yourself with dignity. You are the king. You know, that woman was not even afraid to speak to the king like that. Just because he was her husband. You know, just because someone is your husband doesn't mean you just talk to him anyhow if he's the king. He was the king. You can't talk to him anyhow. But yeah, you know, you do, she would do that. You know, yeah, you may be the king to everybody else, but in this house, you are my husband, and she's going to deal with him. Yeah, is that what you think? David, of course, he said, look, I did that before the Lord. That's right. The Lord who chose me rather than your father's house. That's right. I will praise him. David told her too. Where was your father's house when the Lord took the kingdom from him and gave it to me? Therefore will I praise him. That's right. And the Lord said, you spoke like that to the king? You spoke like that to someone that was praising me? Well, the Lord smote her, you know, and she was barren. And she couldn't have child all her days. So you be careful now. Don't mess with someone that's praising the Lord. You know, praising the beauty of holiness, you know, out of their hearts. And David, he knew how to praise the Lord. Let's read a couple of, I'm just going to read a couple of Psalms. I'm going to turn it over to you and we're going to praise the Lord together. Remember, you know, prepare your Psalm. We're going to do it together. Scripture says, speaking to one another in Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I'm not the only one that's going to speak to you. You're going to speak to others in the room. Speak to me as well. So we're going to do exactly that. But let me read a few things to you here. You know, some of which are taken straight out of the Psalms. Psalm 93 and verse 1. Hallelujah. And there was no one in that Bible that could do it better than David. I mean, he knew how to praise the Lord. He knew the words. He was, you know, I mean, he was always in a zone with praising the Lord. The Lord reigneth, he said in Psalm 93 and verse 1. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. I mean, there are many psalms, but I'm not going to read through all of them. I'm going to give you an opportunity to read your favorite psalm and tell us of the goodness of the Lord. But listen to this. In Psalm 96, let's read, you know, some of the things, you know, that David had to say to praise the Lord. He was always the one that was quick in praising the Lord. He says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. I'm just reading the places where David said the Lord reigneth. That's all I'm reading this morning. I said a lot of other things that David would say about the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my hiding place. The Lord, you know, under his feathers, I will trust. I mean, all these things. He's become my songs, my salvation. He's this and that. Said all those things. But here I'm just reading the places where David said the Lord reigneth. Because he recognizes that, look, I may be reigning over God's people, but it's the Lord that's really reigning. Herod didn't know that or didn't want to acknowledge it. Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it, you know, but David did it. The Lord reigned, he said. You know, so if you're in any position of authority, spiritual leaders especially, you better recognize that it is the Lord. The Lord is the one. We are nothing. We should be instruments only to direct the praise to the Lord. That's all it is. Bring the word of the Lord. And direct praise to the people. I mean, direct the praise of the people to the Lord. Say among the heathen, even among the children of God, that the Lord reigneth. The world also is established that cannot be moved. Judge his people. Hallelujah. Let the sea roar and all these things. This is the same one we read in Chronicles earlier. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the field be rejoicing and so forth. For the Lord is coming, he said. The Lord reigneth. Psalm 99 and verse 1. You know, again, even in Psalm 97, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. You know, he said it over and over again. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. That's right. And he said, confounded be all they that trust in graven images. Praise the Lord. He even commands here, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. This is Psalm 98. For the Lord has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has got in him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness as he openly showed, even in the sight of the heathen. Praise the Lord. Remember his mercy and truth to all the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise. This is all in Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp. The harp and the voice of a song. It's trumpet. Trumpets, cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord. You know, and so forth. You know, do it, because the Lord reigneth. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Glory to God. And he knew, you know, how to praise the Lord. Well, do you know how to praise the Lord? Well, let's praise the Lord together here this morning. Let's see how even Hannah praised the Lord when the Lord turned her captivity, you know, captivity of barrenness. And the Lord turned it around for her. How did she praise the Lord? Well, First Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. But there is none beside thee. There's a song we sing with that. It comes from Hannah. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come into thy mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And he went and said many things. The Lord maketh poor, he maketh rich, he bringeth low, he lifteth up, the Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. I mean, the Lord lifted up the beggar and the dunghill and so forth. Made them to inherit the places of glory, even among the princes. The Lord does all these things. And he said, for by strength shall no man prevail. You don't think anything, it's not by might or power that you can do anything before the Lord. And she knew how to praise the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness. Let's read also, you know, how another young lady in Luke chapter 1, you know, praised the Lord. Luke chapter 1, you might know this story of, you know, Elizabeth getting pregnant after being barren for a long time. And then also, Mary hearing news that she would be pregnant, you know, by the Holy Spirit. And let's read this powerful praise segment in Luke chapter 1. I pick it up from verse 46. Here's what Mary said. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. But she recognized he was the Lord. For he that is mighty had done to me great things. Is that your testimony on here this morning? And holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The Holy Spirit come upon her to say all these things. He has put down the mighty from their seats. Exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things. It's pretty much like what Hannah was saying. You know, he has sent the rich empty. Send them empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembrance of his mercy, even as he spake to our fathers. Hallelujah. I mean, Hannah was saying these things. Mary was saying these things. By the Spirit of the Lord, they were blessing the Lord. What do you say this morning. What say you concerning the blessing of the Lord? What say you concerning the praises of our God? You know, I have written down here about 100 places in the Psalms where he called out the praises of the Lord. But I'm going to yield to you to read to us a few Psalms, you know, and, you know, admonish us by the word of the Lord. The Bible says, speaking to one another in Psalms and hymns. You speak to yourself, but you speak to one another as well. So let's do it. Throughout the Psalms, we see the praises of the Lord. Psalm 8, Psalm 9, Psalm 18, Psalm 29, Psalm 31, Psalm 34, Psalm 40, Psalm 57, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, Psalm 92, Psalm 95, Psalm 96, Psalm 98, Psalm 99, Psalm 100, Psalm 103, Psalm 105, Psalm 107, Psalm 113, Psalm 117, Psalm 118, Psalm 135, Psalm 136. All of it, really, the mercy of the Lord. Psalm 145, powerful, powerful psalm. Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, even Psalm 150. All of these psalms, the psalmist called out the praises of the Lord. And, you know, over the years, the decades past, people have put some of these psalms even into hymns. They put them into spiritual songs. Praise the Lord. So there's a lot to praise the Lord with. And I want to lead the charge of praise here this morning. Lord, I thank you and I praise your name for what I consider the works of the Lord. Say, when I consider his works, all the things that he has done, he said, they're too mighty for me. If I were to put it in words, he said, you know, time would even fail me, you know, to put together all of the things that he has done, you know, how he has brought me from the miry clay, how he has pulled me out, set me upon the rock. Hallelujah. He said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Psalm 40 and verse 5. And thy thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in number unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Well, let's try to number them anyway. You know, let's praise the Lord. Let's tell of his goodness, the ones that you remember, and give the sacrifice and offering of praise. That's what he wants. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. In the volume of the book, he said, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Well, let us also delight to show forth his praises. First Peter, you know, chapter 2 and verse 9. We are a royal people now that God himself has chosen. And what is the reason he chose us from? Quite unlike the, you know, priesthood in the olden days, we had to stand and offer a sacrifice for sin and so forth. No. God chose us for something different. Ye are a chosen generation, he said, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Huh? This is the order of our priesthood now, showing forth his praises, which in time past we were not a people, but now you are the people of God, which had not in time past obtained mercy, but now ye have obtained mercy. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.